International Radio Report.
Stay tuned to CKUT next, the International Radio Report.
I'm Brian Penny of Brewster, Massachusetts. You're tuned to the International Radio Report, 30 minutes of news about radio on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Welcome, everyone, to the International Radio Report for Sunday, May the 5th, 2024. My name's Sheldon. I'm here with Jill. We thank you for tuning in. We are here every week at 10:30 Eastern, 14:30 UTC, with 30 minutes of news and information from the world of radio. We thank you for catching our show. We always try to update you on things going on locally, as well as nationally, and also around the world. We've got a little bit of everything for you today. First off, though, we're going to give you the final reminder of the 37th annual NASWA Winter SWL Festival, which is coming up next weekend, May the 10th and the 11th. If you haven't registered by now, the only thing you can do at this point is to register quickly. You can do it online, or if you are intending to go in person, you may still be able to get a hotel room at the special rate. We're not really sure. That deadline may have passed by now. So the best thing to do is go to the SWLFEST, SWLFEST.com website, and you'll have all the important links that you need to register either for the Zoom event or for the in-person registration. Events will start on Friday morning, May the 10th, and run through the day, and then start up again on Saturday, May the 11th. There are a number of forums being set up with guest presenters, and you'll see the schedule of that on the website as well. Running at the same time will be the Zoom event, and part of that is the hospitality suite, which will be open throughout the event. It's actually opening early on Thursday evening. We have an icebreaker meeting to get everybody geared up for the event. You will receive links to all of the Zoom get-togethers if you have registered within a day or two before the event starts. So watch your inbox if you've registered. You should be seeing the links coming into you later this week, and we hope to come across many of you on Friday and Saturday, and maybe even on the Thursday evening icebreaker. There is a fee of $20 if you want to participate in the Zoom events, and a $45 fee, a registration fee for the in-person event. So SWLFest.com is the website where you can get all the latest information. There's also a Facebook group for the event as well, where messages will be posted up there throughout the event. So hopefully there'll be a good turnout. Looking forward to seeing everyone once again. It is the 37th annual event, so it's something that's been going on for a very long time. And this will be the first year that it's done in a hybrid format. So check it all out, and we'll see you there next weekend. We are hoping to maybe do a show, our next week's show, actually recorded on Friday, as we normally do, but have a number of the participants in Winterfest join us for the show. So be sure to check out next week's show. We will hopefully have some more on-the-spot information from things going on at Winterfest. Now, if you've been following the news, of course, one of the major stories being covered by the media are the protests going on in various universities throughout North America of the pro-Palestinian groups and counter groups in some cases, as we have here in Montreal right now at the campus of McGill University. We were checking our own station here, CKUT, which is a campus community radio station, and we see from the website ckut.ca that they are having live daily reports. There is a live booth set up on the campus at the site of the encampment of the pro-Palestinian protesters. And if you want to check in on what's going on, how to get on-the-spot reporting, that is one way of doing it. You can even go back and hear the reports that were given over the last few days. They've been set up on the website as well, so you can go back and see how they're being covered. This is an important way for radio to play a role in these in the coverage. In the case of Columbia University, we'll have a story on this in just a moment. The campus radio station was the main source of information, as other media outlets were not really getting into the site themselves, especially where there was conflicts going on. So the on-site radio stations became quite a vital and main source of information. So definitely here in Montreal, CKUT FM 90.3 and CKUT.ca with live streaming is the way to follow the events taking place here in Montreal. So it's a pretty important reason for stations like this to exist, to be on the spot and covering events like this. We do have the Columbia University story. Gilles, you want to fill everybody in on what's happening there?
Yep. The Columbia University student radio station was the main source of information for the protests. This is by Kathy Notopoulos, Business Insider, via Radio World. On Tuesday night, as the police entered the Columbia University campus and arrested 300 protesters, I did something I don't usually do. To get breaking news, I turned off the TV, I closed X, and I turned on the radio. WKCR 89.9 FM, Columbia's student radio station, was broadcasting live from inside the campus about what was happening as the NYPD arrived. Outside news outlets weren't allowed into campus, which is gated. So that meant Columbia's own student journalists were the only on-the-ground reporters. The Columbia Daily Spectator, the student newspaper, has been doing an admirable job reporting on an ongoing event that has attracted major national attention. But on Tuesday night, the nature of the breaking news event as the NYPD marched past the campus gates around 9:30 p.m. meant that it was the radio station's turn to shine. The radio broadcast was anchored by a young woman who deftly tossed to reporters in the field and the studio. Under such extreme circumstances, it was a highly professional affair, and the reporters were careful with their words and facts. But there were also moments when the field reporters sounded scared, and you could hear a lot of commotion in the background. In the situation at Columbia, new tech platforms fell short, and what worked was the nearly century-old platform of an over-the-air radio signal. As of Wednesday morning, the station was back to playing its regular jazz music. The world tuned into the state radio station with a caveat. Word spread over X to tune into WKCR, either on the real radio band or via its online streams. I live outside the station's signal, and its online stream was glitchy due to high demand, so I tuned in via its Instagram Live. Hassan Picker played part of the radio broadcast during a live stream on his popular Twitch channel, where more than 33,000 people currently tuned in to listen. Tech platforms help support a tiny radio signal to reach a national audience of people who wanted to hear real reporting on what was going on. The actual events on the Columbia campus on Tuesday night are, of course, more important than the fact that its radio station went viral. But for a moment, I'd like to set aside the actual substance of the campus protest and the police action. Moments like Tuesday night are critical to understanding the world, and it is important to consider the medium of the news in these moments, how it travels, who it reaches, and what technology touches and shapes it. And so, for one night, a small college radio station that usually plays jazz and classical music with a handful of students, journalists, was the medium for telling the biggest news story in the country. And one of the things that also is important to understand here is, you know, when a lot of the breaking news come out of X or come out of some of the social media out there, the problem with that is often they are text. And text doesn't convey the emotions necessarily that the journalist or the people are, you know, facing. So radio, and in this case, you could hear, you know, the fear, you could hear the protest in the background. It adds a whole new dimension to reporting, and you feel like you're kind of there or alive.
This is probably going on at other campuses as well. Most campuses do have a radio station, or many of them do at least, similar to CKUT here in Montreal. And as you say, it's very different having people live reacting to what's going on around them rather than just posting a message up where you really can't get, you know, a real feel of what's going on. I did want to mention one other thing relating to CKUT. CKUT has had a Palestinian radio program on its schedule for quite some time. It's called Under the Olive Tree. And if you'd like to listen to that, you can do it on CKUT Radio 90.3, or you can tune it on the web stream at ckut.ca. It's on Thursdays at 11 a.m. Eastern. That's 1500 UTC. And they are live on site as well at the protest in Montreal. And you can check that out on the show. And hopefully when everything is settled down, that show will continue. And you can always check it out along with all of the other programs here at CKUT. Next, we are going to take you into Africa, and our story comes from Burkina Faso. Burkina Faso suspends more international news media. This comes from the Agence France-Presse News. Burkina Faso has suspended several international news organizations, some of them for an indefinite period, said a statement from communications regulator, the CSC. Among those named in the weekend order are French newspaper Le Monde, British publication The Guardian, German broadcaster Deutsche Welle, and French broadcaster TV5 Monde. They were suspended for reporting on a Human Rights Watch report that accused the army of attacks on civilians in its battle against jihadists. The other news media named in the latest statement, dated Saturday, were French regional newspapers paper West of France, APA News, and Agence Ecofin. Already on Thursday, the CSE announced it had directed internet service providers to suspend access to the BBC, the Voice of America, and Human Rights Watch from Burkinabe territory for 2 weeks. The military rulers of Burkina Faso have dismissed as baseless the claims by HRW that its soldiers had killed at least 223 villagers in two attacks on February the 25th. The killings at Noden and Soro led to the opening of a legal inquiry, Communications Minister Rimtabla Jean-Emmanuel Ouedraogo said in a statement late Saturday. He expressed his surprise that while this inquiry is underway to establish the facts and identify the authors, HRW has been able, with boundless imagination, to identify the guilty and pronounce its verdict. HRW described the massacre as among the worst army abuse in Burkina Faso since 2015. These mass killings appear to be part of a widespread military campaign against civilians accused of collaborating with Islamist armed groups and may amount to crimes against humanity, the New York-based group said on Thursday. According to the Burkina statement, the media campaign orchestrated around these accusations fully shows the unavowed intention to discredit our fighting forces. The West African nation, under military rule since 2022, has been battered by a jihadist insurgency that swept in from neighboring Mali in 2015. Thousands of civilians, troops, and police have been killed. 2 million people have fled their homes, and anger within the military at the mounting toll sparked two coups in 2022. So once again, we have a story where media is being suppressed. Services like the BBC and the Voice of America, plus the Human Rights Watch, being blocked. Internet service providers being told to suspend access to services. Many of the media outlets, including newspapers and TV services, blocked as well. So this happens in so many countries. It always leads us to talk about the importance of international broadcasting, where when domestic services are being blocked or internet services are being blocked, people with fortune in the fortunate situation of having a radio can actually tune into some of these international broadcasts or broadcasts from neighboring countries to keep them informed of what's going on.
Reminds me of a post I saw this week of somebody asking, why shortwave radio in 2024? And this is actually a good reason. there is need in some parts of the world, and maybe that's where we forget why shortwave is needed, because in some parts of the world it might not. In North America, we have pretty much a lot of media outlets and freedom to listen to what we want on the online, and usually it works well. But there are parts of the world where that freedom is not there, and here we have one example where the internet was blocked, which means the only way to get news is to rely on something else, and it's pretty much radio. Be it medium wave outlets outside the country that do make it into the country, or shortwave broadcasters. Again, I'm thinking of the BBC that has a very short-sighted view of what to do with shortwave, because it's slowly lowering the amount of outlets to Africa and other parts of the world. Well, we need them. I'm sorry, but you have to continue broadcasting.
Yeah, so many of them have digital services that they think are going to be the answer. But, you know, people living in remote areas, people without the ability to go online for internet services, people who can't afford to go and buy a digital radio, they're having to try to use their conventional analog systems that they've maybe had for decades. And the more and more things are converted to digital, the more and more those radios are going to become obsolete.
So what's happening with our sun? Well, our sun is waking up with some major flares, a lot of M flares this week. And we had an X flare as we are recording the show on Friday. And this means that there's going to be a lot of activity on the sun. AR3663 is the main sunspot that's been reacting and giving out flares. We are expecting that these flares, which are pretty much Earth-directed, will create maybe some geomagnetic storming. So conditions could be up and down and very difficult at times during the next few days because of this. Sunspot number 125, the solar flux 142. And if you want to witness all of this change in propagation, well, you got to turn on a radio and listen.
I'm Thomas Witherspoon of Asheville, North Carolina, and you're tuned to the International Radio Report, 30 minutes of news about radio on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
In our next story, we have the Taliban that arrest three radio journalists for playing music and talking to female callers. This is via Radio Info Asia. According to reports by Committee to Protect Journalists, the CPJ, and Afghanistan Journalists Center, AFJC, three radio journalists were arrested by the Provincial Directorate of the Taliban-controlled Ministry for the Promotion of Virtue and Prevention of Vice in Afghanistan on April 21st. The journalist Ismail Sadat, Naz FM Radio, Wahidullah Masum of Iqra FM Radio, and Isanullah Tasal of Wolas Gag were detained after being summoned and questioned about broadcasting music and talking to female callers during the holiday of Eid al-Fitr earlier this month. On April 23rd, the Department of Virtue and Vice in Khost Province confirmed this through a message in the joint group of this department and journalists on WhatsApp. Media were advised multiple times not to include background music in programs or to make phone calls in entertainment programs with women, as it is forbidden. Those who violated this order were sentenced to prison by the department and will be charged for not implementing the laws of the Islamic Emirate Taliban and will be introduced to the court in the future. The Taliban outlawed playing and listening to music when they retook control of Afghanistan in August 2021. Last month, the Taliban police chief of Khost Province banned women and girls from phoning broadcasters, the AFJC said, adding that female listeners sometimes called in to ask questions on educational programs. Afghanistan is the only country in the world where girls are banned from high school. The detention of Afghan journalists Ismail Sadat, Wahidullah Masum, and Isadullah Tasal is only the latest example of the Taliban's ruthless suppression of the press since the group returned to power in 2021, says Carlos Martinez de la Serna, CPJ's program director in New York. The Taliban must immediately and unconditionally release all detained journalists and allow the media to operate without restrictive measures like bans on women callers. AFJC demanded the immediate and unconditional release of the journalists and called for the cancellation of directives that severely restrict media freedom in the country. Sad news. It's difficult to get good news out of Afghanistan with all the changes in government and, you know, no women allowed going to high school. They're not allowed counting radio stations. It's just terrible. Punishing and, I mean, you know, grave punishments, putting people in jail just for playing music and talking to women.
It seems that we're having a story like this almost every week lately about things like this in Afghanistan, where it's just getting more and more restrictive based on the Taliban laws that are in place. I don't know if and when this will stop, but it certainly seems to be ramping up quite a bit over the last few months, where we've had so many of these types of stories with the rather severe restrictions being enforced in the country. We have a big event coming up in addition to Winterfest next weekend. There's an annual event happening called the Annual Armed Forces Day Crossband Test, and it's being held on May the 11th. The Department of Defense in the United States will hold its Armed Forces Day Crossband Test scheduled for May 11th, 2024. This annual event is open to all licensed amateur radio operators and will not impact any public or private communications. For more than 50 years, military and amateur stations have taken part in this event, which is an interoperability exercise between hobbyists and government radio stations. The Armed Forces Day Crossband Test is a unique opportunity to test two-way communications between military communicators and radio stations in the amateur radio service, as authorized in 47 CFR 97.111. These tests provide opportunities and challenges for radio operators to demonstrate individual technical skills in a tightly controlled exercise scenario that does not impact any public or private communications. Military stations will transmit on selected military frequencies and will announce the specific Armed Forces Day frequencies monitored. All times are Zulu, and all frequencies are upper sideband unless otherwise noted. The frequencies used for the test will not impact any public or private communications and will not stray outside the confines of the exercise. The stations will be making two-way radio telephone contacts with stations in the Armed Forces Radio Service between the time periods listed on the frequencies listed in kilohertz. And we will be providing a link. It is much too lengthy for us to get to on the program here today. So if you're an amateur radio operator, you want to participate in this Armed Forces Day crossband test, you'll need to go take a look at that. You'll see all of the different stations on the military side that are going to be operating, times and frequencies, and you can try to make contact with them. An Armed Forces Day message will also be transmitted using the military standard MIL standard serial PSK waveform M110, followed by a MIL standard wide shift FSK at 850 hertz radio teletype, as described in the MIL state standard 188-110A/B. And going on, it says technical information regarding these waveforms are provided at a website, which we'll share with you. It's actually a Google Drive file. And the Armed Forces Day defense message will also be sent at 1400 Zulu and 2000 Zulu on the following frequencies. The different stations, they are usually three-letter calls or four-letter calls. AAC, 13963.5 upper sideband, AAZ 14579 upper sideband, ADB 20994 kilohertz upper sideband, AGA0WJ 13528.5, NEPM in radio teletype at 14667 kilohertz upper sideband, NIIW. That one's going to be in the MIL standard 110 radio teletype and CW on 14476 upper sideband. NWKJ 14438.5 upper sideband, NWVC, a CW message at 13974 kilohertz upper sideband, and WAR in the military standard 110 RTTY and CW 14383.5. And for those who wish to document their contacts with a QSL card, you can go to usarmymars.org/events. That's usarmymars.org/events and complete the request form for the special QSL. So again, there's a lot of frequencies and modes there. We'll post all of that up for you. And it will be running throughout the day on Saturday, May the 11th. So as it says, that's a big annual event. It's quite interesting to listen to. If you're not a ham operator as well, you can set up the two frequencies and get these crossband communications that are going on between ham operators and military radio station operators.
And two little tips out of this. One, if you want to decode the different standards like the military standard 110, I would suggest you download a piece of software called Multi-PSK, because it has all of these modes that are going to be used there, including the RTTY and so on. And the other little tip, these frequencies are out of this special event, often used for U.S. Army Mars nets, which have a schedule where you can try to tune in. So I suggest you tune in regularly to hear all sorts of stuff, including Mars nets that resemble kind of amateur radio nets, but they're for the U.S. Army.
Yeah, the Mars designator is for military-affiliated radio services. So you can check those out. We have one in Canada, too, called CFARS, which is a similar type of operation. And often they just go on the air on a regular schedule just to check the stations out, make sure everything's working properly. But obviously, if something were to happen, those frequencies could become quite active. So always interesting to, if you got a radio with a lot of memory channels in it, you could plug some of those in and just scan around and look for activity. So a lot of interesting stuff out there. And this is all classified as what we call utility services on shortwave. And Gilles, you do a nice column about that in our messenger every month, giving people alternative things to listen to on the shortwave bands.
For the month of May, it's going to be focused on Canada.
Oh, very good. That'll be coming up. We hope to get that bulletin out over the weekend coming up, and can check it out. If you'd like to get a free sample of our CIDX bulletin, just write to sample@cidxclub.ca, and we'll gladly send you off a sample of our monthly bulletin called The Messenger.
And we have upcoming ham radio contests.
First off, organized by the Russian Amateur Radio Clubs, is the CQM International DX Contest, 1200 Zulu May 11th to 1159 Zulu May the 12th. It's an HF contest running 1.8, 3.5, 7, 14, 21, and 28, all the major ham bands. And the modes are both CW and SSB.
There's the Volta Worldwide RTTY Contest, 1200 Zulu May 11th to 1200 Zulu May 12th, organized by the SSB and RTTY Club of Como and the ARI, which is the Association of Italian Radio Amateurs. The bands 3.5, 7, 14, 21, and 28 megahertz, and its radio teletype.
All right, so lots of things happening next weekend, including Winterfest. As we said, we'll be looking for all of you who have registered. Feel free to check into the hospitality suite and check out all of the various forums taking place throughout the weekend as well. You will be getting your registration Zoom links very, very shortly during the week to get you all geared up for the weekend's activities. If you'd like to contact us here at CKUT, our email address, radioreport@yahoo.com. Our station is live streaming, and the program is archived at ckut.ca. Our Facebook group, International Radio Report. Our YouTube channel, where you can catch the program at your own convenience and go back and listen to previous shows as well, youtube.com/@IRR, and our X account at IRR CKUT. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great week, everybody. We'll talk to you again next Sunday with our next edition of the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Take care, everyone.
Cereals, don't. United Nations.